Are you worried about a recession? Some economists say there's still a 35% chance it could happen in 2024. Hi, I'm Rob West. People often ask, will we have a recession? The answer, of course, is yes. We'll always have another recession. The real questions are when and are you prepared for it? If you're not, now's the time to get started. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So far, the GDP is still in positive territory, although not by much, and the unemployment rate remains relatively low. That's a blessing. But since more and more indicators suggest the economy is slowing, it's time you recession-proof your finances. How do you do that? Well, step one, check your credit score and get your credit reports. This will give you a base point and will allow you to accurately judge the effect of any late payments if you're forced to make any in the future. You can get a free credit report from each of the three bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, at annualcreditreport.com. With those reports in hand, you'll be able to show creditors that you've made timely payments on your various accounts in the past. That could help you negotiate better terms if you find yourself temporarily out of work. Step two, familiarize yourself with the Mayday budget. It has only four categories. The first is food. You have to eat, but keep it simple and no eating out. The next Mayday budget category is housing. Make your mortgage or rent payment. Then comes utilities, and finally, transportation. So food, housing, utilities, and transportation come first in the Mayday budget. With anything left over, you can pay other bills. Step three is to look for other sources of help. Your unemployment benefits may run out, but other resources will probably be available. Check out nonprofit organizations and local government agencies that may have assistance programs. You can call 211 to learn more about services in your area or go online to 211.org. Step four, make a list of all your creditors and their contact information. Be ready to call them and explain in detail whatever financial situation you may be facing, and then pray you don't have to use it. But if you do, it's ready. If you can't pay a bill, call your creditor before it comes due. Run toward your creditors, not away from them. When you call and speak to a representative, have your latest pay stubs handy so you can show how your income has been reduced. Tell that person how much you have available to pay on the debt for the time being. Ask if you can temporarily stop payments or make partial ones. Let them know how long you expect to be in your current situation. You may not know for sure, but try to give a reasonable estimate of how long it will take for you to begin making full payments on time again. Make sure you get the person's name and keep a record of what you talked about and any agreement you may have reached. Also, ask to have a copy of the agreement sent to you in writing. Creditors will usually do this anyway, but ask for it just to be sure and hang on to that email or letter when it arrives. By the way, scam artists will use tough times like a recession to victimize folks who are already in dire financial circumstances. So don't respond to emails or give out information to anyone who calls you claiming to represent one of your creditors. Step five, get professional nonprofit help for managing credit card debt. Contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org if you're starting to fall behind in payments or expect you're about to. They have arrangements with many creditors to lower your interest rates. You'll make one payment that covers several creditors, making things much simpler. It's not debt consolidation, it's debt management, and that can help you pay off your creditors 80% faster. You can make arrangements to speak with a counselor at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. If you are laid off and lose your health insurance, check out Christian Healthcare Ministries. They offer a medical cost-sharing alternative to health insurance, almost always at a much lower cost. You can find out how they do it at chministries.org. Now, step six is to save as much as possible. It's for times like a recession that we always tell you to have 3 to 6 months living expenses in your emergency fund. There's no better way to recession-proof your finances, so start saving today. And finally, step seven, pray. Pray that God will provide wisdom for managing your finances in difficult times. James 1:5 assures us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So those are your steps to recession-proof your finances, and we'll put links to all the resources I mentioned in today's show notes. Your calls are next. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Today is International Music Day, and music plays an important role in just about every human culture on Earth. Most everybody likes music in some form, plus it's all around us. Commercials, movies, TV shows, and for the people of God, music is especially important. The book of Psalms is God's songbook for his people, and the very last one, Psalm 150, finishes with this. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, International Music Day isn't a Christian holiday per se, but music declares God's glory. So join in with God's people and sing him a song of praise. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn our attention to your questions today here in just a moment. This is the time to call. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to help you think through it in light of biblical wisdom, encourage you, give you some things to think about as you make a practical, actionable decision in your financial life. Remembering you are a manager or a steward of God's resources, and that has profound implications as we understand God owns it all and we're his money managers. We want to do that with faithfulness. We want to be faithful in the small things and the big. We want to seek biblical wisdom as we apply God's truth to our financial decisions and recognize that money is not an end in and of itself. It's a tool to accomplish
God's purposes. And when we see it that way, it does change how we approach our financial decision-making, how we approach money and possessions. We want to help you think through that application of a biblical worldview in your financial life each day on this program. So do you have a question in your financial life today, whether it's in the saving area, perhaps it's building up that emergency fund or saving for the long term, navigating this stock market, which just continues to be really challenging, especially with the unexpected momentum we've had this year, even though we're selling off today. Through the three quarters of 2024, this market has been red hot. Now we're headed toward an election, probably some more volatility in store. How do you navigate that in your financial life as you save and invest for the future? Let's talk about it. Perhaps you want to pay down some debt. You're wondering how to get out from under that credit card debt. Now more than $1.1 trillion owed on credit cards, the average interest rate north of 20%. With expenses up across the board, more and more people going underwater every month. Unfortunately, that means pulling out that plastic. How do you reverse that cycle and pay off that debt? We can talk about that. Maybe it's giving more wisely. Perhaps it's beyond just your cash giving. What does it look like to give out of your assets or out of your IRA or appreciated stock? As we head into the giving season here in Q4, we can talk about that. We'd also love to help you think about just how you approach your credit score and keeping that where it needs to be. Any and all of those topics today are in play. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we've got lines open. You can call right now. Before we dive into those, in the news today, three big Social Security changes are coming in 2025. Here's what retirees need to know. By the way, over 51 million retired workers depend on Social Security benefits, so it's important to stay up on this. And according to a recent Gallup poll, nearly 90% of retirees see these benefits as essential to their income. It's an essential source of income, I should say, because so many are ill-prepared apart from Social Security. Now, keep in mind, it was only intended to cover 40% of your pre-retirement income. So that's why it's so important to work toward paying off debt completely, reducing your lifestyle as you head into the retirement season, and saving systematically and as early as possible. Now, those three changes. Number one, a cost of living adjustment for 2025. The expectation, at least from the Senior Citizens League, is an estimate of 2.5% toward an increase in benefits. If that's a retired worker, that's an estimated increase of $48 a month. Spouses, up to 50% of their earning spouses' benefit would enjoy a $23 more a month. Survivors, on average, would get an additional $38 a month. So we'll see what the final number is when that comes out later this year, but that's at least what's expected. Full retirement age increases. In 2025, the FRA will increase for certain retirees depending on your birth year. So if you're born in the last 8 months of 1958, your full retirement age will be 66 years and 8 months starting in 2025. And workers born in the first 2 months of 1959, their full retirement age benefit will go to 66 years and 10 months by the end of the year. This matters because claiming benefits before full retirement age results in reduced payments, while delaying them beyond your full retirement age can allow for an increase equal to about 1/12 of 8% every month. Now, the third one in terms of changes coming are benefits withholding for retirees under full retirement age. Now, if you plan to claim Social Security before reaching full retirement age and you're still working, some of your benefits may be withheld if your earnings exceed limits. That's known as the retirement earnings test. And the lower limit for earnings in 2025 is expected to increase to $23,280, with the upper limit for those reaching full retirement age up to $61,800. So that's quite a bit higher. $1 in benefits will be withheld for every $2 you earn above that lower limit. For those reaching full retirement age in that year, $1 for every $3. That is the same as it has been. So we're just seeing a slight increase in that retirement earnings test for so many retirees that continue to work after having taken their retirement benefit from Social Security early. Keep in mind, once you reach full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want. There is no limit at that point. All right, I hope that helps you a lot there, obviously, but we want to keep you up to speed just since so many of our listeners are relying on Social Security, and those are changes that are coming. All right, we've got lines open. We're going to dive into your questions here today. That number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Ohio and welcome Larry to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
You've been very helpful to me in the past, and for some reason these questions keep popping up, and I had one today that popped up, and I'd like to ask you what your thoughts were. I'm retired.
Okay.
Been retired for 5 years, and I had a substantial savings that I transferred over to IRA, and through experience I learned that there's a spend down that they talk about when you know, you're looking to go into a facility, you know, you age and that type thing. Is it too soon to start a spend down on this money that that we have invested in the IRA, and how should I do that?
Yeah. So are you talking about in order to be able to earn Medicaid?
Yeah.
Okay. So what assets do you have, Larry, currently, other than this IRA? Anything?
Just my Social Security and the IRA.
Okay. Yeah. So an individual retirement account asset can be counted as a part of your assets for Medicaid eligibility purposes, but it depends on a number of factors, including the state you live in, whether the IRA is in a payout status, and then the Medicaid rules in your area. So each state has its own rules regarding how IRAs and other assets are handled. So are you familiar with the limits for Medicaid?
I am not, no.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, there's income limits. So in 2024, for a household of one, it's $20,120. And then there's asset limits. And that is for a single individual, you can have $2,000 in countable assets. For a married couple, $3,000. And so, you know, there are certain exempt assets. A primary residence would be one. One vehicle, personal belongings, and then certain retirement assets. So I would suggest you connect with an advisor, Larry, who can look over your financial situation. There's just too many moving parts for me to say definitively whether it would make sense to start spending this down. My inclination is no. Let's try to fund it out of the current assets and then rely on Medicaid down the road. But you can connect with a CKA at faithfi.com. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
AFA founder Don Wildman was a visionary. He saw the negative influence the movie and TV industries had on society and knew their technology could be used as tools to counteract the evil taking over our culture. That vision is realized in American Family Studios. We're committed to producing feature films, animated series, and documentaries that glorify God by upholding His standards. Find out how AFS can impact your family and friends at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at AFAaction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you live with a biblical worldview in every facet of your lives here on AFR. This hour, money. How do we handle God's money as stewards? We're taking your calls and questions today. The number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. What is this word steward? Well, the Greek word for steward we see in the Old Testament is oikonomos. It means household manager. So just as a household manager oversees a home on behalf of the owner, we manage God's resources. That's a profound understanding because it means we own nothing, but we are responsible for everything under our care. Now, this, of course, extends beyond finances, our time, our talents, our relationships, even truth. Everything we have is God's, and we have to manage it wisely. Our goal, to bring Him honor and glory. But what are the implications of accepting our role as steward with God as owner? Well, here's a few of them that we'll unpack throughout today's broadcast. Number one is stewards have responsibilities, not rights. You see, as stewards, we manage God's resources according to His will, not our own desires. We don't have ownership rights over what we manage. We're responsible for using it faithfully. This means making decisions based on what pleases God, not what benefits us personally. Now, don't get me wrong. Money is one of God's good creations. And part of what we see in 1 Timothy is that we're to enjoy what God has given us. He gave us creation. We're to be workers to improve it. We're to take money, a gift from God, a means of exchange, and use it to further God's kingdom, but also to enjoy and to benefit our relationships and use it in a way that honors Him, even giving it away. And so it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy it. It just means that we seek the wisdom of the master as the steward as we're making decisions. Another implication, stewards are accountable. Romans 14:12 tells us that each of us will give an account to God for how we manage His resources. Did we use them to advance His kingdom and care for others and reflect His character, or did we waste them on selfish pursuits? Here's one more. Stewards live with an eternal perspective. Instead of focusing on temporal wealth, stewards invest in things that have eternal significance. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 6:19-21, where He says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Earthly wealth is fleeting, but how we use it can absolutely have an eternal impact. My friend Randy Alcorn writes in his incredible book, The Treasure Principle, he says, and I quote, "You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead." More of those implications of stewardship in just a bit, but something to think about today as we accept our really high calling of being a money manager for the King of Kings. All right, let's get back to the phones. We've got lines open ready for you at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, for your show, I enjoy listening.
Thank you.
I've been a student of Larry Burkett forever.
Ah, very good.
Got a great problem. I have a question. I'm not sure about. My wife and I thought about buying a piece of property. We have a lake house, and there's a piece of property beside us. The older gentleman's kind of let it grow up and go down, and he's 76 years old, but he's still living there. So is it a wise thing to make him an offer and to buy that property, like in a life estate where he could live there until he dies? And I'm just curious about the pros and cons.
Yeah. You know, it could be, you know, what is your goal? So you would buy it to be able to have it as a property you would use in the future. But kind of how are you thinking about its use prior to his passing?
Well, prior to his passing, it'd be his totally to live in and enjoy. We won't touch or do anything. If he passed, we'd like to own it beside of ours and an improvement like an investment.
Yes. Okay. And then are you planning on moving in it at some point, or would it be a second property for you?
It'd be a third or fourth property for us.
Okay. Got it. And so is it more of an investment for you, or is it something you'd use?
More of an investment.
Okay, got it. And is he needing the cash out right now, or what is his status?
I'm not sure. I hadn't approached him with a value yet because I wasn't sure exactly how much to offer. I guess I wasn't sure if the property's worth $250, should I offer him $125? Because, you know, I don't know if he'll be in there 5 minutes or 15 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a life estate, curious too, if he lived 3 or 4 years and had to go in a nursing home, could they come back and reclaim the property?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure exactly how that works.
Yeah, very good. So a couple of things. Yeah, I think, you know, the benefits are a potential discount. Now you want to do the right thing and, you know, not undercut him, in a way that is not appropriate. But I think, you know, often a buyer will allow a seller to retain a life estate and the purchase price is reduced as a part of the process because, you know, the seller's motivated to sell because they still retain the right to live on the property. And in exchange for that, often lower the selling price. I wouldn't typically see it that dramatic, you know, by 50%, but certainly some acknowledgement. Obviously there's no immediate property management responsibilities on your part, because the seller remains responsible for maintaining the property. And then there's an estate planning advantage for the seller because, you know, it allows them to stay in the home, retain some of the rights, and that can assist with Medicaid planning or even avoiding probate. So, you know, that's helpful. I think, you know, the downsides of giving the life estate to the seller is just the uncertainty of the timing. And you acknowledge that when you will gain full access to the property, who knows? It could extend for many years in terms of being able to take possession. You've got limited control over the property, and so you can't sell it, renovate it, rent it out. You've obviously got market value risk because market conditions may change. There's, of course, the maintenance and repairs. And then I think to your point, there is the legal consideration. So it would be really important to work with a real estate attorney to ensure the terms are clearly outlined, including the responsibilities for taxes and maintenance. So I'm on board with this. I would check with an estate planning attorney, though, just to make sure you understand the implications with regard to Medicaid. But my understanding is they would not be able to recapture anything because you are the owner. Hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, he called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I've got some lines open. We're ready for your calls today, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's see here. Before we go back to the phones, I was sharing just a moment ago that there are real implications to understanding our role as stewards of God's resources. You know, when we accept that role as steward, it changes everything about how we view and handle God's money. I mentioned that stewards have responsibilities, not rights. Stewards are accountable. Stewards live with an eternal perspective. They're also faithful in small things. Jesus teaches in Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Faithful stewards manage even the smallest resources with care, knowing that God sees and rewards our faithfulness. Stewards hold loosely and give generously. You see, when we recognize that everything belongs to God, it becomes easier to hold our possessions with an open hand. We give generously as stewards, knowing that what we offer is already God's in the first place. And in doing so, we reflect his generosity and trust him to provide for our needs, keeping in mind that ultimately he's the ultimate giver and we're created in his image. We're image bearers of God himself. I like to think we're most like him when we're giving. Finally, stewards don't take credit. What do I mean by that? Well, I would take you to Luke 12. Jesus tells the parable, you know it well, of a man who hoards wealth, focusing on his possessions instead of being, what it says in the parable, rich toward God. The man takes full credit for his success, failing to acknowledge God's provision. You hear him using words like I and my repeatedly as he talks about what he's done to generate this prosperity. Well, in contrast, good stewards recognize that everything we have comes from God, and we give him credit for any success. Even the power to create wealth comes from him. And so think about that today as you accept your role as steward. Let's move from giving head knowledge and consent to this idea of God owning it all, and let's allow that to translate into how we actually make decisions and manage God's money on a daily basis. All right, back to the phones we go. Looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was calling. My wife will be 62
in August. She's 61, obviously. And I was thinking about, we were thinking about her taking her Social Security. She's retired, but we still filed jointly. I didn't know if it would be taxed since I still work.
Yeah, it certainly can be, and it's going to have to do with the amount of income that you earn. So let's start with just her taking the benefits early. So she would be taking these based on her own work record, and then she you recognize that she'd get about a somewhere around a 30% reduction in that benefit by taking it early?
Right.
Okay.
As opposed to being 67. I think 67 is her full retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you just need to think through that and make sure that that makes sense to lock in that reduced benefit. Now, in terms of the taxation, basically the taxability of those benefits, if you will, depends on what's called your combined income. So when you combine all of your income, if that's between $32,000 and $44,000, then up to 50% of the benefits may be taxable. If your combined income, and I suspect it would, putting it all together, exceeds $44,000, then that's going to be up to 85% of the benefits may be taxable. So you would likely, you know, be paying tax on 85% of those the benefits that she's taking.
Would that also be, if she waited till full retirement, it would be the same thing, right?
That's exactly right.
If I'm still working. Because I was under the impression that it was not taxed if she doesn't work, but that's not true.
That's not true. No, it really has to do with your combined income.
Combined. Okay.
And when you look at, and that does include your Social Security benefits in that calculation as well.
Very good. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call today. And by the way, it's up to 50% of those benefits that would be factored into that combined income number. So, yeah, take a look at that and just make sure you plan ahead for that, because that could obviously reduce what you're expecting to have come in on a monthly basis. Thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, as we were talking a moment ago just about the implications of stewardship, it does cause us to want to step back and think that if every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision because I'm managing God's money, what does that mean for my daily allocation? What does that mean for my budget? Because here's the reality. Ultimately, what you spend God's money on is the most accurate reflection, in my view, of what you value and ultimately where you've placed your trust. And the question is, does that really line up with what's most important to me? You know, if you were to take your spending plan, maybe it's your budget or, you were to take a printout of, whatever your primary account is that you spend out of, and you just take a look at those big categories on where you're spending God's money, does that really reflect what is most important to you? And if not, what changes are in order? I think the other consideration we need to make is, does this really line up with our values and our priorities? We talk a lot about goals, and goals are fine so long as they're originally set by us prayerfully considering what God's doing in our life. And as believers, what are our values, and how do we let our values then inform the goals that we're setting, and then ultimately, in a very practical way, those financial decisions we're making on a daily basis? We need to think through that. And so often, I think we skip past that, and we just kind of spend without a real plan, and ultimately, we're not going to end up in the destination we want. So give that some thought today as you think about your own spending, especially now where it's more challenging than ever. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Louisiana and welcome Mike to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm on Social Security disability, and when I was in a different state, I had just Medicare, and then for a supplement, I had Medicaid, and I had like two surgeries that I needed, and it was no problem to get them. And then now that they've made it where regular insurance companies like Humana and all these different companies have a part in the Medicare Advantage or whatever, they've denied me a surgery that a surgeon said I need for my spine that really, my back really hurts. I was wondering if I could go just back to regular Medicare and Medicaid as a supplement somehow, because they don't deny, like these insurance companies, you know, they're out to make money. They're a business, and they're denying folks.
Yeah. Yeah, so currently, I mean, you can switch back to original Medicare and Medicaid after enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan. There would be certain conditions and time frames involved in that. So there's a Medicare Advantage disenrollment period where you can switch back to original Medicare during the Medicare annual enrollment period. That's between October 15th and December 7th. So that would be the time that you would drop your Medicare Advantage and re-enroll in original Medicare. There's also a Medicare open enrollment period. So there's other issues there with regard to Medicaid eligibility and guaranteed issues. So I think your next step is probably to contact Medicare directly at 1-800-MEDICARE and talk through this with them, and then you can start the enrollment process. We'll be right back.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You can call right now with your financial questions. That number, 800-525-7000. I've got a few lines open, perhaps room for a couple of additional questions. When you call right now, 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money. That is your budget, your spending plan, your long-term savings and investments, paying down debt, giving generously, all the things we do every day. How do we apply biblical wisdom to those decisions and choices? We want to talk through that with you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Pete. How can I help you?
Thank you so much for all your advice. I think that's awesome. I am curious, though, could you possibly do a little quick synopsis of how Social Security got started, the purpose of it, and why they decided it was a good idea to tax it, but mainly, what can we do as U.S. citizens to put a stop to that? What do we tell specifically to our congressmen and people to stop this? Most people depend on Social Security, and to be taxed 50, 60, 70% of it,
yeah,
you're literally hurting people.
No doubt. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, to your original question, I mean, it was established in 1935 under President Roosevelt's New Deal. And it was essentially there as a safety net for millions of Americans, helping to prevent financial insecurity during retirement years. It was intended to offset about 40%, up to 40% of your pre-retirement income. And then beyond that, for disability and benefits for individuals who are unable to work, for survivors benefits, for those family members, including spouses and children of deceased workers, and then some other reasons as well. To your point about the taxation, I think those that would be proponents of this taxation would say that this income is essential for government budgets, particularly programs like Medicare and even Social Security itself. I think we would argue, as I assume you are, that wait a minute, these retirees have already paid into the system; they shouldn't be taxed again. And there's a whole slew of government waste going on where we need to get our own financial house in order as a nation and cut spending dramatically and balance budgets and reduce just a lot of the inefficiencies that exist in the system and overspending and putting that on the backs of further taxes to Social Security workers or retirees that have already paid into the system is not the place to go to generate that revenue. So regardless of where you come down on this issue, what do you do with that? Well, I think, clearly just like anything else, I think knowing the arguments, educating yourself, identifying key elected officials who represent you both at the federal and the state level, especially if you live in a state that taxes Social Security, writing letters or emails, calling their offices. There's, of course, the option to engage in media, social media, writing a local paper, collaborating with other organizations that could amplify your efforts, even joining advocacy groups. This is not for the faint of heart, but it's, the role that we play. And I think that's why the American Family Association is so important in terms of AFA action and all the host of issues they're engaged in rallying Christians together, helping to inform and equip, but also having a voice into those leaders on a wide range of issues is really important. So hopefully that at least gives you some insight into kind of the original intent and where you go from here. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come back to you being engaged in the political process in terms of showing up to vote for those leaders who understand, a biblical view of economics and wealth creation and how we should be handling our federal budget, the role of taxes, the role of limited government, allowing our economy to work the way it was intended to, where, we see, human beings as a blessing and not a curse, and that we're created to be productive, and that creates economic expansion and generosity, and there's a virtuous cycle there, but we don't need government to occupy God's place. We don't want it to kind of try to take over, and we need to keep our house in order in terms of spending less than we earn and avoiding debt. And that's been a challenge for some time now here in the United States. We need to get on top of that, and we need leaders who are willing to make the hard decisions. So hopefully that's helpful to you as you think through just kind of where you go from here, because I certainly agree there's plenty that can be done or should be done in that area. Thanks for your call, Pete. I hope that helps. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Carol. How can I help you?
Hi. I was just wondering, there was a caller that was talking about Medicaid spend down, and you were trying to talk to him about it. Could you explain how that works? I live in my own home, and if I was on Social Security disability and I wasn't making much money, I set money aside to pay for taxes and that kind of a thing. So it would put me over the $2,000 savings limit. And I was just wondering if Medicaid spend down would have to do with that.
Yeah, essentially, Medicaid spend down is a process that allows individuals with income or assets above the eligibility limits to qualify. So to become eligible, they spend down their excess income or assets on medical expenses. So that might be doctor's visits, prescriptions, long-term care. And then once they reach the Medicaid limit, they can then qualify for coverage. So it's commonly used by seniors or those with disabilities who need assistance with Medicare costs, but initially exceed the financial thresholds for Medicaid. And so, again, if you can offset with the excess with medical or healthcare related expenses, then potentially you can get below those thresholds to allow you to qualify for Medicaid for someone who wouldn't otherwise meet the financial eligibility requirements. But it's important that you understand the specific rules in your state and really carefully document the medical expenses to navigate the process effectively. Because again, there's state specific rules, there's periods of eligibility, and then, you know, you've got to be careful around asset transfer rules. So, you know, what we need to look at there is somebody who's trying to, you know, maybe gift assets to a family member in order to qualify. And I think there's both an ethical issue there, plus also just a practical issue with regard to the look back period. The Medicaid looks back 5 years to see if you've made any changes, like trying to transfer assets into somebody else's name, and then they're going to go ahead and count those assets. So your Medicaid to coverage would be declined at that point. So I think where it typically works most effectively is those who have genuine, you know, medical needs where they can spend these assets down on those medical related expenses in order to get below the threshold. Does that make sense?
It does. Is it specifically only medical that you can use to spend down then? I just want to clarify.
Anything that gets your assets down below the threshold, would qualify. But essentially, you know, where this typically comes in is those who are spending it specifically for medical related purposes.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Arkansas. Chris, how can I serve you?
Yes, sir. My mother is retired on Social Security benefit at 70 years old. So she's at full retirement age. She's received a personal injury settlement, tax-free. And I was listening to the beginning of your show. It sounds like so at 70, so her receiving this money and being, this shouldn't affect her Social Security benefit or reduce it any. Being at full retirement age, correct?
No. Yeah, once you're full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want in terms of income.
And then, all right, thank you. And my next question is, she's wanting to put maybe some and break it up, a couple CDs or a high yielding bank account to also make a little bit of interest, and or a money market account, but she's also wanting to add my name onto it in case something happens to her. With it being over, with certain amounts like that, does it affect if something does happen to her and it all goes to me? Do I pay taxes on that, or how's that
well,
work?
Yeah, here's the reality of that. So if she adds you as a joint owner, it's going to be considered a gift because she's essentially relinquishing 50% ownership of that asset to you. And so at that point, if it's over $18,000, which is the limit on what you can gift to someone without letting the IRS know, then she'd have to fill out a gift tax form. Now, there's not going to be any taxes on that until you get up to $13 million, at least based on the way the law is today. There's a lifetime exclusion for gifts of up to $13 million. So she would just have to tell the IRS she did it. What's probably better is for her just to leave her name on it and then just make you the beneficiary. That way you would receive it as an inheritance. There is no federal inheritance tax, and only 6 states have a state inheritance tax. So I think, you know, typically that would be the way that it was done. And if you're listed on that account as the beneficiary, or it's, you know, listed, you're a part of her will, then you're going to receive that at her death anyway. And that's just going to make it simpler to keep the asset in her name as opposed to now it becoming a gift to you. So some things to think about there before you make those decisions. But hopefully that clears it up for you, Chris. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Dennis in Indiana, I apologize we didn't get to you. Let's see if we can get you first up on the program tomorrow. Stay right there, and Sandy, we'll see if we can get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. That's going to do it for us today, folks. A big thanks to my team, Taylor Stanrich, Devin Patrick, and Sandy Dickinson, and everybody here at Faith 5. May the Lord bless you, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.